This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Let's talk about addiction. Lessons in Recovery with James Dittman and Dr. Alfonso Brown is a podcast offered by New Beginning Health PC. At New Beginning Health PC, we provide treatment for individuals in recovery from opioid and other forms of drug addiction. If you need treatment for addiction today, please feel free to contact us at newbeginninghealthpc.com. That's newbeginninghealthpc.com. What if every like, every heart, and every comment you chase online wasn't just feedback, but a fix? What if the endless scroll isn't just a habit, but a hit? In today's episode of Let's Talk About Addiction, New Beginnings in Recovery, we're diving deep into buzzing, blinking, dopamine-charged world of social media. And the big question that we like to answer is social media creating a new kind of addiction? One not fueled by needles or pills, but by algorithms and artificial validation. I'm your host, Dr. Alfonso Brown, along with my co-host, Mr. James Dittman. Mr. James Dittman is an advocate for individuals in recovery, having gone through recovery himself, and he now speaks powerfully about behavioral addiction and digital dependency. Together, we will unpack the neuroscience behind those little red dots, the rise in phantom vibration syndrome, and why some teens say they'd rather lose a limb than their phone. This isn't just about screen time. It's about identity, impulse, and invisible chains. Buckle in. This conversation might change. Just see how you see your phone and yourself. All right. I want to thank everybody for joining us today to this edition of Let's Talk About Addiction with James Dittman. And hello, Mr. Dittman. I want to thank you again for conducting this episode. As you know, Mr. Dittman is a patient at the New Beginning Health PC, and I'm Dr. Alfonso Brown. Mr. Dittman's an outstanding individual. We've worked together, and decided to come up with this idea of the podcast so that we can talk about issues which are important. Mr. Dittman is an outstanding patient who's continued to make tremendous strides as he follows along his recovery journey. And one of the things he's passionate about is trying to provide a service so that others could hear and discuss these topics and hopefully raise awareness to ways in which they can continue to improve in their recovery journey. So, Mr. Dittman, a big shout out to you again for your outstanding commitment today. How are you doing, sir? How's your week been?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm just getting over a bit of a cold, but I'm doing better now, and you know, I'm ready to go with this. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me and setting this up.
Thank you, sir. And for those of you who don't know, Mr. Dittman's a very committed family man. He's got young kids and his wife, and he really works hard in all these areas. And so we're very happy to have him here. And I just want to start with a question, Mr. Dittman, for today's topic. What would you say is the most common addiction in the world right now? What do you think that might be?
Well, I would say, you know, comfort and you know, technology use, but I don't know exactly which one it is.
Right. And I would agree with you. I would wager to say that it's technology use, and in particular the cell phone. And the problem with cell phone addiction is I don't think many people know that they're addicted to cell phones. Yeah. What do you think? You think that's true?
Oh, you're definitely right, because you don't really think about it until, you know, your Wi-Fi is gone or your phone's off, you know, and you don't even realize it. And, you know, you forget your phone, even if you're almost at work and you're about to be late, you're turning around, it's screeching to your house to go get it, freaking out with an anxiety that is absolutely withdrawal, you know, and it's crazy to think about because people don't even realize.
Yeah. And it's even, I agree with you. It's even more amazing when you think that 30 years ago, that wouldn't have happened if you had, you know, left home without making a phone call. But
when I was a kid, they were just like these little bricks, you know, and you never thought to have it on you. Even if you forgot it at home, you were just like, oh, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It is quite amazing. And you mentioned something there that was very interesting, loss of Wi-Fi. That doesn't happen, but occasionally you'll go into places. It doesn't happen much, I was going to say. You'll go into places where there's no Wi-Fi access, and literal panic and physical withdrawal symptoms will set in for some people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a muscle.
So it's, it's even like a physical withdrawal, you know?
Yes.
You start getting antsy. Get like the shortness of breath and speeding of the heart rate and it's crazy.
Yes, it is. And you know, with that pretext, we're going to look at a case today, and see how, because these things can start innocently enough, just in trying to, you know, meet the day to day needs that we all have, and we're going to look at a case. Unfortunately, sort of a tragic one. In which this was the case. So we're going to talk a little bit about a young girl. Her name was Emily G at the time when the case starts. And she was a quiet child, high achieving family. You know, Mr. Dittman and I were up in Massachusetts. and so we all know we have the North Shore and the South Shore, and we know what our affluent suburbs as well. So this was a woman from the North Shore, very affluent suburb. And her parents were supportive of her, but they were very busy. The mom was a corporate lawyer, and her father was a neurosurgeon, a brain surgeon. So unfortunately, in her earlier years, emotional conversations with her parents were very rare. She always had nannies, and praise often followed success. So they were really interested in her doing well. Not so much concerned about the effort. They took that for granted. She quickly learned, unfortunately, that the fastest way to receive attention, was to have accomplishment present at all times. And so perfection became her own private obsession.
Conditional.
Conditional. Yeah. Do you find, Mr. Dittman, even in adult relationships, sometimes conditional behavior can create problems? It's sort of like we have all these contractual relationships with people and we don't realize it. You know, a husband and a wife, well, if you get that little list, if you do this, then I'll in turn do this for you. And if you don't, you've broken the contract.
You're building the foundation of your relationship on an exchange that is not genuine, and you know, it's, unless it benefits somebody in some way, it's just not healthy and it's not natural, and it's certainly a failure.
That's right. You're exactly right. And when that contract gets broken, you know, theoretically, it's the source of frustration. So we're introduced to this poor girl. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just added to what you said, and that heartbreak and, you know, all that. But
yeah.
Keep going.
No, well, what I was going to say, we're introduced to this poor girl now. Wealthy family, North Shore, had her first smartphone. Given to her by her parents. They decided to give her a smartphone at age 12. And the goal of this was to keep her connected. This is her first introduction. And I guess sort of provide another way to fill that time, because as we we heard from the initial part, she didn't really have much in terms of, you know, communication with them, except around issues of performance and outcomes. So once she got the smartphone, she was excited because now she could make up for the time, those times when she was by herself. She spent a lot of time by herself, an only child. And unfortunately, her parents weren't around enough. They were busy with work.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
So Instagram became her digital canvas, and she took several pictures of herself, selfies, book stacks, coffee cups, things that were interesting to her, and she posted them. And it seemed like all that attention that she was craving, she was suddenly getting it online. And she had, by the age of 15, 30,000 followers and some partnerships with minor brands. So what do you think about that?
Well, there's a lot. It's sad because she's learned, before she can learn to connect, you know, with people just face-to-face naturally without any technology, it seemed like she was just very much alone and then thrown a cell phone to learn connection, you know.
Yes.
And so she gets excited because she feels connected to the world, and it's almost like she associated connection with that cell phone.
Yes.
You know? And she's just happy to express herself in any way for anyone to see, because yes, she has that need to connect. And it's a little unhealthy, if you ask me, but I can understand why she's excited. I can understand why the parents gave it to her, but it wasn't for the right reasons, if you ask me.
Do you think that this will likely enhance her relationship with the parents, or make her more distant from them?
I think what it really did was avert her attention somewhere else, because, you know, I don't even think it would help her connect with them, you know. I think it was more of a way to just keep her happy because they know they can't be there. But at the same time, like you said, if she had a big achievement, they were there, they were supportive and all that. There was like some sort of conditional exchange.
Right.
You know, and I'm trying to process this a little bit because I got so much to like just running through about it. It's just not healthy.
Well, I agree. I think, let me ask you this question. When you say it's not healthy, do you think there was a problem with them giving her a cell phone at age 12? You think that's too early, or?
I think so. In a couple different ways, because first of all, safety. You know, there's a lot of danger online, you know, in every corner of it. You know, as far as predators, or, you know, bullying, and even just simple knowledge. You know, it's like you don't know what she has access to. You don't know what she's being shown or taught or conditioned. And I feel like their parents aren't even thinking of that. They don't care about it. They just more concerned about their careers or anything that will be an extension of them. I really don't feel like they have a concern for her well-being in the long run.
Excellent. Excellent thoughts there. And, you know, this is one of the things you'd have to think about at age 12. It doesn't mention in the story that they had inquired even about what she was looking at. And it seemed that she was pretty good at whatever she was doing. 30,000 followers in a 3-year period is pretty impressive.
Well, it's like she learned to connect through technology, which, you know, we all grown up learned to just connect by getting out there and failing out, you know, what's what.
Yes. But,
it's like she got an addiction for it and grew and grew some.
Yes. Yes. So she's now 15 years old. She's got the phone at 12. And for the first time ever, a letter comes home to her house from one of the teachers at school. And the letter said that they were a little concerned. She didn't seem very focused as she had been in the class. She was a tremendous overachiever before. Her grades had dipped a little. And they were just, you know, used to herself of being on top of things and really being at the forefront. So they sent this letter to the parents. And for the first time, sort of the parents noted that maybe something was a little off. So they told her they wanted to make sure that she maintained her focus in school. And part of that, they said she looked a little tired lately. So they wanted to make sure she was getting plenty of rest. So they sent her to bed. They recommended after she eat dinner, she go to bed promptly by 8:30 and be asleep by 9 o'clock. That was what they implemented. Her mother, though, became a little suspicious because she would often hear noises. And one night she snuck into the room and surprised her. It was 11 o'clock and she was up communicating on her cell phone. And she also had some things in there. Looked like she was filming a video and having some discussions. And the mother was like, well, what are you doing awake? She didn't really understand. And she, in turn, was surprised. At 15, she was wondering and accused her mother of snooping in on her. And at that time is when she told the parents that she had this social media network following. And she tried to explain that she was very good at this. She had a major accomplishment. She'd had some brand endorsements and that it was going well. And this is part of the reason why she was up late that night. So what do you think about that interaction?
It brings me back to her need for attention. At first, it started with she longed for the attention of the parents. So before the phone, it was all about school. It was all about achieving. It was all about what can I do to get my parents to be here for me, recognize me, support me emotionally. And, you know, that's what her full focus was. And once she got the phone, she got a taste for, you know, just attention in general from anybody. And, you know, that in itself grew as an addiction for her, something she always looked for, always wanted, and now she's getting it from all corners.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, so it's like, I blame them for that, really.
And I would agree with you. I think, unfortunately, when you don't take the time to assist your children and teach them, this can be one of the outcomes. Do you think it's surprising that they're just finding out now that she has this tremendous online following? That this didn't come up in the 3 years or so that she was doing this. It also seems like they're just finding out that she's been up late at night working on this. She obviously can't do a lot of it during the grade time. Yeah.
No, that's not surprising to me. I mean, their attention really, it's not like they were really looking, you know, it kind of seemed like they were just trying to give her anything to kind of keep her busy so they can, you know, pursue their career. That's not surprising to me. And you'd be surprised how fast things grow artificially, you know. he threw her outside and said, go make 30,000 friends, you know, it'd be a lot different.
You're exactly right. That's a very good point, actually. It's interesting. It's also a little sad, I would say, that you know, she's developed this life, and I think maybe in some of the interactions that she had with the parents, she was hoping that they would say that, look at this, is another achievement. She gave me this phone, and I've been successful with it. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think what was happening as we progressed through the story, the parents were feeling a bit guilty because they really felt that there was not a lot of interaction. And they had a discussion with her where they said they were going to have to restrict her.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Ability to use the phone and to limit the use, especially doing it late at night.
So if it doesn't reflect achievement in the way they want it or approved, it's a no-no.
Yes, and I wanted to ask you what you think about that. Do you think that that's fair? I mean, she is staying up late at night, and they had sort of an agreement that she would try not to do that. What if she was able to accomplish what she's doing during the day after she finishes her work and stuff?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, as a parent, it's like she's 15. She does need to focus on school. She does need to, you know, get her rest. She's not going to exert her potential and herself on, you know, the entertainment. You know, me as a father, it's like, no, you're going to school. You focus on being a kid for now. I'm proud of everything you've achieved, you know, and I support it, but that's not going to be your main, you know, focus with your energy, you know. And not for nothing, you know, I have more than one kid. It's like, it's an example too. You want to show people that school is important and you know, all that.
Well, it's interesting that you said that because that's exactly what they did. They restricted her and told her she could not do this anymore and that there would be random checks at night to ensure that she was sleeping, and she agreed and they said they would put a monitor in her room to see if she was staying up and trying to record videos. So this was crushing for her, and she developed a lot of nausea and some anxiety related problems that were problematic for her. This was the first time she had some contact with a professional. The family became a little concerned. She seemed much more irritable, more angry. Flight of emotions. One minute she was happy, the next minute she was sad. And they were concerned again that her schoolwork was going to suffer because they felt like she just was not herself. What ended up happening was that a referral was made to a child therapist who she saw. And the child therapist made some recommendations, which we'll talk about. But I wanted to ask you, what do you think about her behavior? Is this normal? Be concerned?
Absolutely. You could spot it right away. I mean, it's like, you know, she's having withdrawal from connection. It all stemmed from, you know, just wanting to connect with her parents, you know, and You know, they gave her a device instead of their time, and she found a way to connect with the whole world. And it was intoxicating. It was, you know, her main focus. It was everything to her. So without it, I can understand not just withdrawal, but heartbreak and almost like a dream crush. Absolutely. And it would, you know, I agree, would need some sort of a professional guidance, you know, on how to appropriately spend your time on both ends.
Yes. Yes. The other thing that happened as well that was interesting was that she was going to lose those endorsements that she'd had. Remember, she had these mini endorsements as well. So there's some money involved here also.
Yeah.
And not to mention, is it truly possible to have internet friends? So, you know, she developed friendships now that were going to potentially be impeded upon or destroyed by this new arrangement that her parents were. But again, she is 15 and she is under their roof. Yeah. She's their only child.
Yeah. And like you said, she was going to lose her endorsement. And, you know, the whole social media thing, that's all good and all, but you also do want to get your schooling. And you need, I mean, even if you use the schooling to further your career on your social media, you know, it's so important to use the time that's given to you, because one, you can't go back. You can't do it again. You can't re-experience graduation and the connection and friends you make at school. Mm-hmm. The certificates and the college that you end up, you know, getting into. And mm-hmm. It's so important. You know, it could all serve her in the way she wants, you know, and it has to come before the social media thing. You know, it's
excellent points, Mr. Dittman. So, if I hear you correctly, you think that the restrictions implemented by her parents were appropriate. Her therapist, as I mentioned, makes a recommendation, which is sort of a bridge. She says that she'll be allowed to keep a vlog, right? So it was a video blog, but this would just be of her doing outdoor stuff. Like if she does walks in the park, things like that. They live near a wooded area and she can comment on that, but nothing at night after the prescribed bedtime for her parents. She has to complete all of her work, and this is just to maintain those friendships or things that, you know, might be helpful while she's out doing activities such as exercising with the walk and building that up to keep herself going.
Yeah.
She agrees to this and continues to do well, actually, believe it or not. Initially, it's a little shaky, but it seems like once she's able to make those connections online again through the vlog, and the vlog becomes moderately successful, not 30,000, but close to it, because she's discovered she's a personable type person, knows how to interact with people online, it seems like. So she gets about, you know, 1,000 people who follow her vlog on a regular basis. And at least for then, a lot of those symptoms she was having seem to disappear. She's not as withdrawn, not as, sweating and anxious and that sort of stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, and that's because she's doing it in a healthier way now. Now it's not coming from a place of need. It's coming from, constructing. You know, she's constructing something that has purpose. You know, before it was kind of like, hey, you know, I'm out here entertaining you guys and just be my friend, please. Somebody please, you know, admire me and you know, be here for me. Now they're teaching her, you know, it serves a purpose and it's healthy. It's not just going to be like I'm throwing you out there and whoever gets you, you know.
Right.
I think it's a good thing.
Okay.
They should have been on top of it from the beginning, but it's a good thing.
All right. And guess what, Mr. Dittman? Your inclinations are correct. She goes back and does very well in school now. and finishes near the top of her class and gets into a very prestigious university, once again in Massachusetts. And she is very happy. Her parents are pleased. They're very thankful. They're very supportive. She gets, they don't really need as much assistance, but she gets even some really good scholarship assistance, a special scholarship to go to this this college. And she's very happy with that. She's now 18 years old. So it's been 3 years since the other incident. And the other aspect of it is she's discovered that she's very personable. So for the first time, really in a long time now, she's going to a place where not a lot of people know her. But she had been doing this vlog, and then she starts to want to vlog about her college experience. So she does that, and people start asking her more detailed insights into what's going on, what school is like, talk about everything. And she decides to make this 4-year vlog about her life in college. However, about 2 to 3 months into the semester, one of her new friends on the campus starts noting that it seems like she's not going to class as frequently, even though she has very strict guidelines about her scholarship. So she has to get a certain GPA every semester. So she's being very careful to do that. And having gone through what she did before, she goes back and sees her therapist. Therapist makes some recommendations, and she stays very focused in her work, but still maintains the blog. But one thing starts to happen is that it seems like she's spending a lot of time later at night now, working on things with the blog, and as a result, her followers start to increase again. So she's starting to become very successful with her, she calls it her trek through college vlog, and she's getting the notifications and some brand sponsorship as well. What do you think? Any warning signals, any signs you can turn?
Like the whole priority around her blog, especially in a crucial time like the college and all that,
mm-hmm.
to me, it's got red flags all over it. It's like it all stems from the need for her parents' emotional support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started from way back then, but it's like that, it gets out of control. It's like if she doesn't stay on top of it, that's what she you know, spends all of her time on. She's losing sleep. You know, it's coming from a place of place that she still needs to work on and you know, figure out about herself with the therapist.
Excellent point. And she follows your advice, Mr. Timmon. And goes to see the therapist. She has not really notified her parents of this, but I guess she's showing some maturity in this state because she decides she does not want to get into the point where she was before. And the therapist makes some recommendations after asking a few questions. She says that she needs to curtail the amount of time that she works on the blog and really focus on her work at school. She also noticed something that she disclosed to her. She said that she doesn't necessarily feel connected. And this is the Emily. She doesn't necessarily feel connected to her emotions, per se, her real emotions. A lot of her joy now sort of comes from responses that she gets, especially when she posts things. And even though she's regular and outgoing, her life doesn't seem to reflect the things that a lot of people ask her about, in particular when it comes to interpersonal relationships. And especially, she noted for the first time, she's never really had a boyfriend. And people find that very strange because online, she's very outgoing and active, and people love following her for that reason. She's like the person next door who seems to have an answer to every question and seems to be enjoying life. However, she knows that interpersonally, She has a few friends on the campus, but nothing really close. And for example, she's never been in a romantic relationship at all. She's 18 years old. I mean, some would say that's not necessary, but this was something that she had raised to her therapist, who was a little concerned that she spent most of her time fishing for likes and trying to live out this role where she is who she says she is, but in real life, she doesn't feel that that's the way she really is.
That's all she knows. Yeah. That's all she knows is an exchange for recognition. You know, it's like all she knows about love, care, and connection is, if I do something that interests you or grabs your attention, then you'll see me, and then I'll exist. Then I'll, you know, then I'm real, and you know, and I want to be real, and I want to be noticed. It's like the simple things in life, like just stopping to smell the roses, stepping away from work, and this, that, and just look around you and connect with where you are and what you have. You know, just even like sitting around the table at dinner and talking to your family, and you know, just even just like five questions about their day matters so much. It really does. You know, when you're growing up, and especially for a kid, it's so easy for them to fall into a routine of, you know, that lasts forever.
Yeah.
You know, like those are the years that construct your very way of thinking.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And you, as we've gone through her case, you've seen how, and you've commented on how this has progressed. We saw it started when she was 12 years old and the introduction to the phone, but it seemed like the groundwork for this attention seeking that she gets started with, even before that, with her family. And unfortunately, the mom and dad were not very close to her during those formative years. And it wasn't that they malintentioned or anything like that. It was just that.
No, I don't think it was anything like that either, but it is sad. Still very sad.
Yeah. I'll give you a quote that she told her therapist. She says, even on her best days, she feels like she's acting in a movie about her life, but not actually living it.
Yeah, she's very disconnected from herself and only feels whole when, you know, she's online, as if her very form of being is the device.
That's right.
And she's just an accessory of it.
That's right. So what actually ends up, that's, Mr. Durbin, I think it's an excellent point. And as this case has progressed now, it seems like we're revisiting the cycle from the 15-year-old version of herself that we had before. So the interesting thing here is she needs to come up with a solution. She's under a lot of pressure, prestigious university, and she has grades that she has to maintain. Two things happen. The first is that she comes up with a plan with her therapist to cut back once again on the level of activity online, cut back on the social media, which she agrees to. She's at a more mature state at this point, doesn't see it as a hindrance, and she's worried. She also agrees to try to be more social, to go out more, and she's an attractive young woman, so guys are always trying to talk to her, especially now some people are finding out about her, you know, online presence. But she hasn't really been struck by anyone because they don't seem like a lot of them have common interests, until one day she gets a direct message from a guy. The guy has no picture online, though, himself. He has a picture of himself online, but he tells her that he doesn't like to maintain very strong online presence. He just wanted to congratulate her on her work. He's followed her for many years, and he tells her that You know, he just wanted to reach out in this fashion because he was so impressed with the work. He's a college student as well at a school in Pennsylvania, he says. So they start to have some conversations, and as they converse through text messages online, she learns a lot about him. She learns that he's a very altruistic guy. He's traveled a lot, and he's gone to places or much poorer than where he grew up. And his family is of somewhat means, he says. But he decided that he felt very privileged in what he's experienced so far. So he wanted to do a sabbatical of sorts. So he's still at school, but he asked for 2 semesters off so that he could go and live in a poor area in Pennsylvania with minimal internet access and not really have a significant social media presence. And he just wanted to see how that would work in the modern day. And this was something he was doing to show himself that he could wean from it. And so he tells her this, and she tells him a bit about her struggles with the popularity and how she was trying to wean from that. So they connect along this line, and they end up spending a lot of time talking back and forth. She likes to video chat with him, but unfortunately he doesn't, because of his test, if you will, to try to minimize social media. He refuses to do video. He says he will only do sort of, you know, just the text stuff, and he keeps that to a minimum, maybe once every 3 or 4 days. And that's the way he would like it, because he's really trying to minimize it. And he says he's impressed that he even talks to her that long, because usually this is a no-no for him as well. He really is trying to keep it low. And what do you think about that?
I think, you know, the very thing that attracted her to this guy, you know, nothing about this is natural or healthy. You know, like you said, she hasn't bumped into any guys physically that she has got any interest for. You know, and as if she doesn't even associate herself as being human, but all of a sudden she gains attraction for something online. Yeah, it's a guy who knows, you know, what he is or who he is. She's never seen him. You know, he refuses to.
No, she has a picture of him. He sent her an initial picture. Yeah, all right, but she said he wouldn't be sending.
Like, yeah, like she's never had interaction to know, like, you know, hey, this is a person or whatever. You know, bottom line of what my point is like her attraction to him was through a device. It was messages, pictures. It was, you know, just all online. It was never anything physical, face to face, human, natural encounter, you know? And it's like she's very disconnected from humanity. Her body, all that. And this guy is also giving me a very weird vibe, like he's, you know, a threat in some way.
And why do you say that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just being a little paranoid or whatever, or maybe I, you know, I'm breathing the wrong thing into it, but it just, she's never really seen proof that he is who he is. You know, and just everything he says and does is a little too convenient. It almost seems like he's just avoiding proving it's, you know, who he is and, you know, whatever. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just taking it to a place that is just through paranoia. But getting back to her, really, it's just... she's got it all wrong about how to connect with people. The bottom line of what I'm trying to say is she's not connecting healthy and in the right way. She should have been pulled away from these devices and just like, hey, go out, make some friends, go out and see how the world works without the technology perhaps before I let you have this.
Yep. Well, you know, she feels like she's made some progress. She has cut down on the social media interactions. And then the thing that makes this even more seem more helpful to her is that this gentleman she's been talking to, he tells her that she should really try to cut down on the social media presence as well. He's done it, and it's helped him out tremendously. He feels much more present in life, more mindful. He meditates every day. He's showing himself that he can sort of live off the grid, if you want. And
no, yeah, maybe I was thinking a little too much into it. Then maybe he is a positive figure to it. You know, sorry to cut you off.
No.
I tried to look into it too far, I guess. But yeah, that's good. That's good.
Well, I think you've got good instincts, Mr. Dittman, so don't feel too hard on yourself. But you know, this is a case to explore, and you know, it's very, like you'd mentioned in the beginning, the internet can be a dangerous place, so we have to be careful. So she goes home for the holidays. I think it's now approaching Christmas, and the end of that first semester. She's managed, it seems, to start to pull up her grades, even though they're not getting to where her family would like to see them and the therapist. They're not aware. You know, she hasn't taken her finals yet. But she's doing better. She looks more chipper, more bright. And she goes home, you know, right before Christmas, before the final exams. And people are like, oh, okay. Well, you look, you know, good. Like, things are going well. And she's, you know, happy. She feels like she's accomplishing what she's doing. But then the very first night that she's there, they have a massive nor'easter. You're familiar with those up here, right? And the nor'easter knocks out power to their house. So the power goes out, and when they try to reach out, no one knows when it's going to come back on. So they don't have any Wi-Fi service, and her phone charge is only on about 20%. She doesn't say anything, but she starts to get agitated, starts sweating and trembling even a little bit. And when her parents ask her, is everything okay? She says, yeah, I'm fine. You know, I have a lot of things to do. I came here for a rest, but I've got stuff at work, you know, at school. I got to finish some projects, and I really need access to my computer, and, you know, need to be able to connect in so that I can get these projects done. What she hadn't told them is that this was also the night that she usually receives those calls from her friend. You know, it's only twice a week, and this was one of the nights. And she'd been anxiously awaiting today's call, which hadn't happened yet. So the service stays off for several hours, and she becomes increasingly more panicked. And eventually, because she was concerned, she goes to her bed and just closes the room. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel very bad for this girl. You know, she is. It's like she's addicted to the technology, yes, but mostly very addicted to connection, because she never really had it in a healthy way or a natural way. And, you know, the power's off, the Wi-Fi's off. The only interest she has, this guy, which is, I guess, is a positive figure in her life, you know, and is trying to, you know, help her to, you know, not get too out of control with this stuff. I don't know. I just feel bad for her. You know, I do.
Okay.
She just didn't have the right guidance growing up.
What do you think about her reaction to the lack of Wi-Fi? How is she reacting? Trembling, sweating.
It doesn't surprise me. It just doesn't surprise me at all. You know, because that is classic withdrawal. You know, classic withdrawal.
Yeah.
She feels like her whole world is ending, and and she has no control over it. And that's the big part right there. She feels the need to have control over it because, you know, that's where she feels comfortable, where she feels safe, where she feels even real.
Excellent point. And that is one of the things I noticed as well. It looks like she's suffering from withdrawal from substance. This is not a normal response to most people. Say the Wi-Fi is off, okay, but she's having trembling and sweating and nausea. Yeah. And it's so bad that she has to try to get into a place where her parents can't see her because she's afraid that they'll think something is going on. So very interesting insights. And actually, you know, she was supposed to stay there for, you know, a few days, but because the Wi-Fi still hasn't been corrected, she decides to go back to school early. she just didn't want to stick around. It turns out there was a transformer in the town that got blown. So it was a much more detailed job. So it ended up being a few days, actually, before they could get full power back. And she decided to leave. She
didn't even want to be anywhere without the devices.
Yeah. Interesting. Very, very interesting. The one thing, though, her grades were still doing well enough. So she goes back to school finally gets her Wi-Fi back and communicates with her friend. At this point, she's really cut down on the social media, not a lot. But when he speaks to her, he says he was worried that something had happened to her because he hadn't heard anything. She explains about the problems with the Wi-Fi and how she had to leave early. And he says he's very happy with that. And he said he had some great news to tell her. And the news is that his experiment has gone so well that a major university now wants to give him a grant to extend this, to publish his results. But he seems like he's a little short for the money that he needs to get all that together. So he was asking her if she believes in what he's done and that, you know, with their shared experience, they could probably help people. So he asks her if she'd be willing to support that effort so he can get this grant thing set up with her. He also says before he goes any further with that, he knows this is a little awkward because they've never really met face to face, but would they consider themselves like, you know, together because they've been talking all this time and they have this shared interest and he has great visions of how he thinks they could really continue to work together to, he says, even if you don't want to donate to help me start this organization, I'll do it on my own. I'll figure out a way, but we can still stay connected in this way.
Yeah.
What do you think?
See, my mind goes to threat seeking very quickly. It's just, I guess, my own, I don't know, problems or whatever, but it just don't smell right, you know, with the relationship with this guy. It brings me back to like that conditional exchange, kind of.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And I think it's a little deeper than just the technology with this addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's stemmed from a lot more than just the technology. Because, like you said, like her grades, she's just getting by. And she should be doing a little bit better than just getting by with real life, with physical life. She's mm-hmm. still spending so much of her energy and time and focus on devices. While her life is just like the secondhand, we'll just get by with this. Mm-hmm. And but with this guy, I don't know what to think right now about him. Because, you know, it's like, I don't know too much about him. Now he's asking for money. And, you know, I don't know. I would have to hear more. And okay. I don't want to sound too paranoid.
All right. Well, she becomes concerned and she talks to her therapist, and the therapist sort of wrap this up. The therapist tells her that she should be concerned, just like you said. How well does she really know this guy? And even though she states that he's been very helpful, his approach to reducing the social media content has significantly helped her reduce that. She seems more social, at least with him. She's cut down a lot of the external and extraneous contacts that were taking up her time. And she's managing to stay focused in school, even though she's having some trouble with it right now. When she told him that, the guy actually recommended that they not talk for a while so that she can focus on school, and then he promised he'd call her afterwards. So the therapist...
She feels like he's kind of preying on her vulnerabilities a little, that's all.
Okay. The therapist agrees with you again and tells her to be very careful about her emotional stability in this relationship. She actually says she doesn't think the relationship is healthy, agrees with the points that you've made about she seems a little too dependent. Even though she doesn't have the 30,000 now, it seems like all of the relationships have coalesced into this one. And one of the questions she asks her is, what happened to her when she was at home? Why was it necessary for her to cut her vacation short to come back? And what do you think she said, or what would be the appropriate? I can tell you what she said. Then you tell me what you think. She said she came back because she had work to do, and with the absence of the Wi-Fi, she couldn't really study effectively at home. Yeah. That's what she said.
So her physical life came second, and her online presence took absolute priority, even over her vacation.
Now, again, she just said, she told the therapist that she went back because she needed to do her schoolwork. That was what the problem was.
I know that's what she said.
Okay. So I'm asking, do you believe her, Mr. Dibb? That's what she said. That's what she told the therapist. What do you think? We were flies on the wall watching what happened while she was at home. So what do you think?
Yeah. So it's like, I think, you know, she just told her therapist that. So, you know, her therapist wouldn't grow any more concern and, you know, whatever, kind of back off a bit. But we all know she left so she could find some Wi-Fi.
Yeah. The therapist tells her that she should probably also consider either slowing up or ending this relationship with the guy. She felt that to some extent the relationship had become unhealthy now because he was occupying too much of her time. And also at this point, she's about to become 19. The therapist says she should reach out to her parents more as well, although she doesn't feel comfortable with that because, like, again, she hasn't really had a great relationship with her parents all along.
Yeah. There's no safe place with that. There's no emotional connection or, you know, need. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like she doesn't have that kind of thing with them.
Yeah.
Because she finds her safety and comfort and connected online. That's all she knows. Yeah. That's why she likes this guy so much. He's just an online, you know, presence.
Yes.
That's what she likes. That's what she knows.
Oh, excellent.
Her father needs to step up. Get crazy, you know?
Yeah. They don't even know that she has this relationship. That's how. That's another issue. Do you think that issue with her parents has gotten rid of? She's getting good grades. They're happy. And she, at this point, she's taken her finals. She's gotten through.
That's all they care about. It's like, that's not enough even for their parenting. This isn't just like her problem. I mean, this is an absolute, you know, failure of a parent too. It's like, you're just concerned with her grades, a little, you know, certificate, a piece of paper. It's like, do you care about her, you know, who she's becoming? Do you care about her character? Who she's going, what you're leaving behind in this world when you're gone? You know, what really matters in life? Like what you actually put on this world? Cause no one's going to remember what you did for work, unless, you know, you did some really great things. No one's going to remember you being, you know, like a lawyer or whatever. It's like your children are what you, okay, let me rephrase it. Your children are what, you know, keep you here when you're gone. And for you to only care about, you know, numbers and that stuff, it just, it bothers me a lot, you know.
That was a beautiful statement. Yeah, that's quotable. Your children are what keeps you here when you're going. That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's just it. How it is.
Well, all right. It's an excellent point. So we're going to wrap it up now. We've done some really good. So she decides after much trepidation that she's going to have a discussion with her, I guess we can call her boyfriend or her significant other at this point. What ends up happening, though, is before she can call him, he calls her. And he says he's thought about this. He's going to wait, but he's still doing his best to try to wrap together the funding so that he can start that project to try to teach younger people about staying off the grid and the dangers of online presence. What happened, however, was that one of her friends at college became concerned about her behavior and traveled out to Pennsylvania during her break and found out that this guy was actually not in school at the time. He wasn't doing this project. And they didn't have record that he was enrolled in classes there that semester. So while he never really directly accepted money from her, and she did confirm he did exist. He was a real person, but the details about, his commitment and where he was at the time when he says he was at school were not clear. And the way she found this out was she actually went to the school, got his name and checked records. And they said while he had been someone who'd been enrolled there, he had not come back that semester and he was gone. There was also a confirmation because she happened to know somebody who knew him. And they said at the time that they thought he had a girlfriend. So there was some concern that he might not have been honest about his openness. So she goes back and she tells Emily this. And of course, Emily didn't believe her. Initially, she was very upset. And she also got angry about her snooping in her life. She said, "Why did you do that? I didn't ask you to do that. I'm, you know, an adult. I can handle myself." She said she had been concerned just about what she saw. And she wondered, I think, as you said in the beginning, Mr. Dittman, that how could you be in a relationship with somebody that you've never seen? So she brought her this information, and as well as mentioned that he might be in another relationship, even though he said. So she was angry at her friend. And actually, that almost ended their relationship, the friendship. And she decided she would call him. When she called him, she confronted him with the information that he said, this is during there. And he did not deny that he wasn't in school. He told her, actually, that he'd taken the semester off to do this project. And remember, I said he was from means, even though he was trying to see if he could do this without his parents' support. So he was able to get an apartment, and he was living in a poor community. He didn't understand when she confronted him about the relationship, why she was so concerned about that. She says that he meets women all the time. And this was a woman that he had known before he met her, but that there was nothing going on at that point. He then says, you know, she can either believe him or she doesn't, but he thinks it's best that she figure this out, and because he's really into his social media breakdown thing, he says, let's wait about 4 months and then talk again. And in 4 months, we'll talk. And if you're still feeling this way, then, you know. And with that, he ends it. And he he does something else. At that time, he sort of blocks her so she can't communicate with him as well. He wants her to... So she... What do you think?
I think her lack of experience with just how the world is and how the world works makes her very vulnerable prey for, you know, just anybody to just, you know, take advantage of her. And the whole relationship with this guy was built on hopes, not truth, not solid, concrete facts. I mean, of course she's hopeful, but I think it was really built on lies. And her friend has, you know, right to be concerned, but I can understand why she's angry that her friend bringing her this information. You know, that just comes from like a place of embarrassment and, you know, just not wanting to believe anything other than what, you know, you are attracted to. But you already know that I don't like the sound of this guy. My father instinct says, you know, let's take a drive and find this guy so I can talk to him. But I don't know what else to I don't know what else to think about it. Yeah. It's not because, like, excuse me. The thing about the story is it's not natural to me, so it's uncomfortable for me, this whole scenario. It's like, you know, it's not natural. It's very synthetic, and it's just not.
You're talking about the guy's story to her, what he's told her about himself. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Well, the whole situation, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy's story too, just nothing about it really adds up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense when his excuses are so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, every concern she's had with him, you know, it's like everything he has to say back, like, perfectly sits, you know, right where he wants it. And I don't want to drag it out too much, but
no,
that's not right.
Well, this is what happens. She finally comes to the realization that it seems like she has to really give all this social media stuff up. He recommended, have you noticed how easy it was for him to just say 4 months? And he held to that. She tried to call him. He wouldn't respond. You know, she cried. She was angry. And then something occurs to her. She says, you know what? I'm going to take some time. I'm going to go home. She'd done well enough in her grades. They hadn't slipped. She wanted to just go visit her parents. And she decided when she went to visit them, she was going to tell them about all the stuff that had gone on and try to have a clean break. She'd sort of mentioned it slightly. They seemed pretty busy, but they had agreed to let her come home for a weekend, and that's what she was going to do. So she packed up her stuff, got into her car. She told her friend that had got the information on the guy that she was very happy and thankful for the fact that she had done that. She was no longer angry at her. And she went off with hope. She also disconnected at this point fully from the social media and was really just trying to focus. And that's that. About 3 hours later, go ahead.
No, what go ahead. Think? I was just saying.
No, you finish. I'll let you finish. I should have let you finish. Go ahead. What do you think?
Well, no, that was it. You know, that's good that she's, you know, coming to that realization. And honestly, I'm just not really happy with the parents.
Yeah.
About any of it.
Well, she was going to mend that with the parents. She told them she wanted to talk to them, something significant. She'd mentioned that she wanted to let them know about how things had gone with her social media work and how she pulled herself from that. She was going to disclose. So about 3 hours later, she hasn't arrived. It's only like about an hour from where her school is. And her parents get a phone call that they need to come out quickly to this area, which is about 20 minutes away. They drive out there, and they see her car overturned, smashed in half, and they're informed that she's died. The only thing that they recovered at the scene was her cell phone, and that was how they knew, they were able to reach the parents, and she had her driver's license ID, so they could find that as well. And a check of the cell phone records revealed that the last call that she'd gotten while she was driving was a text message from Pennsylvania.
Wow. You know, there's a couple things right there, you know. You know, it's like all she needed the whole time was her parents, you know, to focus on what really matters. And it's like, it's too late now. Too late. You know, she wanted to come. She, even in the end, she was reaching for you guys, for her parents. The whole time she was reaching for them. She just didn't even know it maybe the whole time. But that's where the whole problem really stemmed from. And, you know, it's funny, though. Well, it's not funny, but it's crazy. You know, her whole life is right there on that cell phone. They want to get to know their daughter, which they can't physically now. All they got to do is go on that phone. She's all over the place. And that's all they have now to do that with.
And the last connection, she was going to establish the connection with her parents in a greater way. But unfortunately, it looks like the last connection that she had was with this guy who she'd never met, but unfortunately was connected through the phone. And I don't know what happened, but it must have been that she got distracted and crashed. But she never survived that trip to see them.
She was so excited to see that notification from being deprived. Yeah. That all of her focus went to it, and bam. You know, that's horrible. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I think, Mr. Dittman, would you agree? I just want to comment, as you usually do, an excellent job on analyzing all these very complex issues that this case brings up. And if you go back to it, as you pointed out in the beginning, it was challenging the relationship she had with her parents in the beginning, that lack of connection. And what seemed like a benign gift at 12, that cell phone, opened up a world for her to discover, first of all, who she was, right? Because I don't even think her parents knew as well as she knew how well she could communicate with others and make friends online. But as you mentioned, it created a lot of problems and confusion. Not to mention, we don't really know. If for some reason, you had a funny impression about this guy in the beginning, and we're left not knowing, was he real? Was he helpful? I mean, his response. Yep, go ahead.
Doesn't even matter. He was just, you know, a few words on a screen that took my daughter away. You know, that's how I feel about, you know, if I were to insert myself in the story. You know, but I don't know. It's because when I think about it, it's like, yeah, your careers are important, whatever, you know. All they do is construct, you know, your friggin' property around you. But, I mean, you, for an example, you do many things, very impressive things, and you do a lot, but you still always have your family priority no matter what. And you can do so many things. Like you do so many things, but you still, no matter what, would be there for your family. Why is this so hard for these guys?
Yeah. And I think that, oh, thank you for that, but I try my best, and I'm not by any means a professional, but I noticed the same thing in you, Mr. Dittman. From what I've seen, you're a committed family man. And I think part of the reason why you were so hard, this is a young, you know, I think you view her maybe as you would your daughter, and, you know, seeing what she's going through. It's a sad tale on how easily cell phone addiction or social media addiction can slip in under the cover. And we started this discussion today on what do we think is the number one addiction globally. And a lot of people like her probably don't realize the degree to which their devices control their lives and their daily interactions.
Yeah. And it's like they gave it to her for the wrong reasons too. It's like they gave it to her to be a babysitter, really, to replace them, keep her busy. Here, take this and leave me alone kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just not cool. It's not right.
Well, you know, I want to thank you. The goals of these cases are to make us think and to see that addiction is not what a lot of people think it might be in terms of, you know, the stereotypes of what it is. There are many more subtleties and nuances to what happens. Yeah. And like I said, one of our biggest threats today, I think, is the grip that technology has on us. I sometimes do as an exercise, I just travel and you go by a bus stop and you look at how many people are looking at their hands and their phones and, you know, nothing else. Couples together on a date and both people there. The artist Bansky has a famous picture with two people hugging and they're hugging one another. You know, deep hug, but behind each other's backs, they're looking at their cell phone. it's interesting.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect. You know, it's funny that you say that too, because people, you know, they go out and do all this extravagant stuff, you know, for dates and this and that, but the whole time they're on the phone, it's like, is this for the date or is this for you to post as content?
That's right.
The world needs to connect again without all this.
That's true. And I thank you. Any last message you want to leave the audience as you've done another excellent job.
My phone's starting to power down, so if I disappear.
All right. No, you're good. And we want to thank you again for joining us today as we're going to end this one, and thank you, the audience, for being here today. Thank you, Mr. Dipman, and everybody take care.